I'm Ben Yarbrough, and this is the Quiet Time workshop, the Quiet Time, you know, having quiet time or expanding your quiet time. This is my friend Alan. Mark Jones is also on the bill, but he had a work emergency, so he couldn't be here this week. So we miss him. So let's pray, and then we'll start. Father, we're so grateful just for this weekend and time we can be away and time we can seek you. And Lord, I pray today that you'd open our ears and open our eyes to see the great things you have for us. And I pray that each of us might receive some type of help from the conference. And just pray for this time. It'd be fruitful and that we would enjoy the fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, just start out. My motive today, kind of my approach, is to instruct. Some people may say, I'm kind of new to having a quiet time. That's great. It's to encourage you to keep going or to start again or to go farther. And then the last part is to actually motivate you. And how many, just as a kind of a transparent thing, how many would say they're kind of starting out on quiet times? They've not really had them a bunch before? Okay. How many would say they've had quiet times in the past and done okay, but off and on? Okay, good. About half. And then how many would say that they're pretty consistent, but they're looking for something new and exciting along the way? Okay, good. Wonderful. Good. Well, we're all together. This is going to work great. I would like my friend Alan to come and just share with you just a little brief testimony of what quiet time has done for him. He's standing close. We like each other, but they told us to stand close to each other, so they don't have to talk into my lapel, please.
Ben really brought me along just in case there's any slip-ups in the workshop. He can say, you know, you're the fall man. You're the reason why, so that's why I'm here.
It's the beard.
Yeah, the beard too. Looks cool. Well, I just want to say real quick, it's only been a couple of years that I came here and really was taught how to have a quiet time and how to do it on a daily basis. It changed my life, along with scripture memory. Those two things, it changed the way I talked to my wife, changed the way that I saw bath time with the kids, changed the way that I saw enemies at work. It changed me. So I told my wife last week after a quiet time, I said, man, I love the Bible. And I never would have said that a couple of years ago. So it took a few persevering and trying to read on a daily basis for several years. But eventually, now that I'm perfect now, but I'm pretty consistent. But man, I love getting in the Word now. So it's changed my life. So hopefully something you can take from this will help you encourage you to do it daily.
Okay. Thank you, Alan. So great testimony. We need to actually develop our relationship with God because it's forever, right? It's not just here on earth, but we get to spend eternity with God. And so part of our motivation is this love relationship with Jesus that we're building is going to be not only the rest of our physical lives, but for eternity. John 17:3, God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So I'll give you a couple verses. I'll try and tell you some of them. We'll look some of them up, and some we'll send you home with if you want to look back over the handouts. I have always done that at this conference. I take my handouts and go back home, and I use them during quiet times, and I go back through. So if we don't look them all up, that's kind of why. But there's two parts I kind of, as I look at quiet time, and I try and think about, you know, how I approach quiet time. One is that my enjoyment of God. I am like Alan. A lot of times I enjoy meeting with God. And then I put a verse there for you, Psalm 119:32. I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. I mean, I just enjoy God and all he shares with me. But then there are sometimes I come to God and I'm not so excited. And so those times it's more, it's a discipline or I have a plan. I know I need to hear from God, even though I'm not super duper excited about it that day. Or I have a problem or something, but I have this plan in place, a calendar I'm reading through, or I know this is, I'm going to try and read in this chapter in the morning. I'm going to work through this problem with God. So it's that plan. And so you kind of almost need both. You heard Steve Pressfield say last night, he was working with a guy, and the guy said, I didn't feel like, I'm not sure I can come to God if I'm not in the right heart motive. I think God uses our ups and downs both, and he can speak to us. But one thing I do want you to know today, and I'll say it more than once just in case, because I have to remind myself too, there is no guilt here for you today. Okay, if you don't have a quiet time or you have 10 a day, God will not love you anymore if you have 10 a day. Now, you may love God more, right? You'll know Him better, but God doesn't love us based on what we do, right? He loves us based on what Jesus did. So, anyway, I just want you guys to know that. So, we're going to take, let me give you just a little something I saw. And we did a definition on there, and basically, quiet time is just time spent with God that involves His Word and prayer. You can expand that to meditation, you can expand that to, you know, however, but that's the basics of a quiet time. It's time we set aside each day. My son has he's a teenager now, and he has a little devotional from church, and I was reading it about quiet time. One of the things it said in there was, it was teaching the kids how to have a quiet time. Then it said, "This will not be the only time today you spend with God." I thought that was so good. Just to set that expectation. Quiet time may be the first thing we do, but it's not going to be the only time that day we talk to God, we spend time with God. There's a woman named Ann Boskamp, which I don't know, but she tweeted this, and someone sent it to me. It said, "Daily Bible reading isn't about getting Him to love you, but getting yourself to the place where you can hear Him tell you He loves you." So that's what we do. We can hear actually God tell us. Okay, what I'd like to do now is kind of give you a few minutes to, we're going to look up some verses. And so if you have on your paper a little circle around a verse, I'd like you to take the time in just a second to look that verse up. And if you feel comfortable, we'll ask it when we call that verse in a moment, we'll ask you to just tell us what you got out of it. You don't have to read the verse or anything like that, but just tell us how that applies to the category we're in, and I'll help you with it if we need help. So we'll take just a couple minutes here and look those up. Does that make sense? Okay. Okay. Everybody have a chance to look them up. We'll start together, and we'll just go through a few of them. On the biblical example of quiet time, who had Psalms 5:3? Okay.
Psalm 5:3. "In the morning, O Lord, Thou wilt hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to Thee, and eagerly watch."
Okay.
And so, yeah, he's up in the morning and eagerly watching.
Okay.
So afraid that,
That's real good. Yeah.
Anticipated.
So do you have to have a quiet time in the morning? Answer is no. No, you don't. I said it real quick, so no one. There's always somebody in the crowd says yes. Okay, you don't. But we'll talk in a little bit about, you know, God can speak to you anytime. But there is a certain something about giving God priority. And sometimes to get no distractions, sometimes you got to do some heroic things. And we can talk about that in just a little bit when the more practical piece of it. How about Isaiah 50, verse 4?
I got that one.
Okay.
"Sovereign Lord has given me an instructive tongue, to know the word that it sustains the weary. He wakes me morning by morning, wakes my ear to listen like one being taught."
Okay.
And, you know, just the phrase, you know, morning by morning, He wakes me. He also, not only when we wake up, but He opens our ears to His word.
Good. Very good. Wonderful. You know, I'm not necessarily a morning person. Sometimes, though, the Lord will wake me up. You know, you'll have your alarm set for whatever time it is. It's dark. And but you'll wake up 30 minutes before or something. I don't really think that's a coincidence. A lot of times I believe that's the Lord waking me up. And so I'll just slip out, you know, and try and get going. And we'll talk about some strategies for how to fit things in just a little bit. How about Psalm 63, 1 and 2? Okay, good deal.
"Oh God, You are my God. I earnestly search for You. My soul thirsts for You. My whole body longs for You in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I have seen You in Your sanctuary and gazed upon Your power and glory."
Oh, very good.
Kind of denotes to me, you know, just a longing desire to be seeking Him and near His presence.
Uh-huh. Very good. Yeah, that's great. You know, the funny thing about, you know, your spiritual drive to get to know God, it's not exactly the same as your drive for food or water. You know, if you go a day without eating, you get hungrier and hungrier. And sometimes if I miss, you know, a day of quiet time, I don't get more and more hungry for God. You know, I find myself getting more prone to sin, you know, to being influenced more, but I don't get hungrier and hungrier, so it's kind of a reason to maintain it and keep it going. So those are a few biblical examples. You see that tension they have toward seeking God, looking for God. Let's look at just a few examples of some people in the Bible. Did someone have Genesis 19:27? Okay.
Now Abraham arose early in the morning and went to the place where he had stood before the Lord.
Mm-hmm. This is, if you look at the context of this, this is when Sodom and Gomorrah was going down. And I thought it was real interesting, you know, as you see these folks in the Bible, these men and women, but they, sometimes it's in good times, they're spending time with the Lord, and sometimes it's not so good, you know. But yet they still went and stood before the Lord, you know, which to me is my take-home thing. How about Genesis 24:63? Did someone have that?
Yeah. And he went out to the field one evening to meditate, and as he looked up, he saw camels approaching.
Yeah, that's Isaac, and he was waiting on a wife. Remember, they were bringing his wife. some versions say pray, and some say meditate, but I love that picture of... you know, I don't know if it was after supper. I imagine it was after supper to me. And he was taking a walk with the Lord. And I think Stan did a workshop on walking with the Lord, just spending that time just conversing with the Lord. So this, when the tape comes out next year, download that MP3. And you'll hear me say that several times on here. I'll refer back to things you can download. And I would encourage you to do that. There's so much more that we can do. Yes. It's discipleshiplibrary.com, I believe. And I'll give you some, I'm going to tell you the names of some. Some are in the worksheet there. But things that have helped me for sure. So, and then when you go, I'll just tell you now, when you go to discipleshiplibrary.com, there's a tab that says series. I think it's on the front page. You can click series and you can find KMI. And you can see, I imagine there's 20 years worth. You can get every workshop, every handout. They're all there. And I just... There's a ton. And I just download them to my iPod and put them in the car and, you know, or walk or however you do it. There's no shortage of material, just shortage of us putting it into our lives, you know. So, kind of moving through. Who had Daniel 6:10? Okay.
Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open, and his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks for his God. Mm-hmm. He did four times.
Mm-hmm. Good. So remember, Daniel was in a situation where they made it illegal, right, to spend time with the Lord, even though it was kind of a weird sort of law thing they did. It didn't deter him at all, right? This is the pattern of his life. And I was in a workshop, and David Hines was talking about suffering, and he said, you know, you're going to do, when you're in a time of suffering, what you normally do. And if that's spend time with the Lord, then that's what you'll do, you know. If however, you don't spend time with the Lord frequently or steadily, then when you're in a time of suffering, it's going to seem foreign. You know, it's going to be difficult to hear from God if you don't recognize His voice, you know. Okay, so just for yourself, we looked at a few examples of quiet time there in the Bible. What stood out to you, just in your own kind of place there? You can think which one might have stood out to you. And I saved you a few to look up at home. The little next set of verses we have is, why should I have a quiet time? Now, here's some reasons that you might want to have a quiet time. Who had Proverbs 1:32-33?
I did. For the waywardness of the simple, like a complacency of fools, will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Be at ease, you know. Live in safety, be at ease without fear of harm. I love that. Just that protection. How about, we could share, you know, a lot of people could share stories. I'll share a quick one with you just about, is in 2005. And I was reading one day in Proverbs. I was in Proverbs 12, so it was probably the 12th day of the month. And this verse just leapt off the page. I mean, it's Proverbs 12:16. A fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. And that meant nothing to me. I mean, I was like, why? What am I missing here? You know, but it just burned in my heart. So I wrote it on a card. I put it in the car, and I drove around all day with it, just burning a hole. And that afternoon, I get a call, and I understood immediately what it was. It was my boss, and he had came up with some cockamamie thing, you know, someone, and he called and he was going to tell me this and tell me that, and, you know, and so he did, and he frequently said, what is that you're looking at? Because I pulled a card out, look at it, put it back in my pocket, you know. And I'm like, oh, nothing, just something I needed to write down. And so at the end, you know, I respectfully disagree. And, you know, he said, well, I understand. I'd probably be in the same thing. You're okay. So we're getting up to leave. We're outside at a restaurant. And this bird used the bathroom on him. And he may have done that anyway, but he said, he turned to me and he said, it looks like someone agrees with you. And I said, yeah. And, the P.S. to the story was, it doesn't matter if this happened or not, he was fired several months later. He wasn't the class act guy. But my thing was, the whole point I just want to tell you is that if I had chosen that day not to have a quiet time, I mean, God could have found another way to warn me or another way to, because my tendency would have been to defend myself and tell this guy and blah, blah, blah. But having that verse was enough for me. I hadn't even memorized it yet. But I did memorize it afterwards because I always wanted to remember that, you know. That was a Proverbs 12:16. It's not. I don't think it's on your. That's just a bonus. Okay. It's a freebie.
What did it say?
A fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult.
Okay.
So, you know, from Proverbs, a fool is somebody who knows what's right and doesn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And a prudent is the wise, is someone who knows what's right and does do it, you know.
Okay.
So it's, okay, who had Jeremiah 9:23 and 24?
Okay. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight.
That's strong. God values relationship, doesn't he? How about Jeremiah 33:2-3? Okay.
Thus says the Lord who made the earth, the Lord who formed it, established it, the Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know.
So, truthfully, you know, we just did three. There's a ton of verses. We culled things out, so we just weren't giving you sheets of verses. But I said, we need time with God. You know, there are wounds and there are issues in our life that we need God to intervene on. And deepening our relationship, you know, getting his thoughts on our days and our activities, that's the goal, is getting him involved in our life. So quiet times are just times that I set aside that I'm more likely, I think, to listen to God. You know, I'm less distracted. Okay, then there's one last little section. It's the results of spending time. Who has Isaiah 26:3?
You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you.
That's right. Perfect peace. I need it.
Perfect peace.
I need perfect peace. Okay. Who had Psalm 37:4-5?
Take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act.
Mm-hmm. The version I know says, commit your future to the Lord and he will act on your behalf. I just have to remember that. I just have to commit my future, good or bad. Thank you. How about Psalm 32:8?
I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you.
Strong. Very strong. God's interested. Okay, if you'll turn your page, there's a quote there from Mark Lewis. Mark, I haven't seen Mark this year, but as I was listening to workshops and different things, he said this and it stuck with me for a long time. And the quote is, getting to know God leads to trusting him. That blank is trusting him. Trusting him leads to yielding to him. And yielding to him leads to being conformed to his image. And as I thought about that, it's really true. Trusting. You trust someone, you let them close, right? And then I'm more willing to yield to his desires. And then the more I yield, the more I become like Christ. And I think, to me, that is such a great picture of a quiet time. You know, when I first started, I became a Christian at 15 and a half, which I'm coming up on 30 years as Christian. Kind of wild. I'll tell you, though, even once I committed my life to Christ, I had a desire to read His Word. You know, and I was using the little youth books they give you at church, and I was trying to do little quiet times, and I could see progressively over time God was growing my desire for Him. And hopefully, the people I live with, my family, could tell you whether or not they could see the change in me, the yielding and the conforming, you know. I know I trust God more than I used to. So when I look and see this process, I look at what keeps me from spending time with God. Just me. I'm not putting this on anybody else. And I came up with three things. And they're right there, and I'll just tell you about them. One is time. Irregular schedules, kids. I'll tell you about that. And then the second one is kind of perspective of how important it is to meet with God. I lose that sometimes. I think a lot of other things are important. And then a lack of discipline or a lack of desire or lack of faith. You put whatever you like in there, my lack of. But we can address all these today. So let me tell you about time and how I kind of approach time. It's always easier to look to the future and say, someday I'll have more time. Even when I get up in the morning, right? Well, I'm really busy, but I'll have more time this afternoon. And that it's almost a lie from the fall. You know, we all seem to believe we'll have more time later than we do now. The best time to have a quiet time is the first chance you get. I really believe that because I've just had too many where I've missed. Max Barnett said a few years ago, he said, some things in life you must fight for right now because you don't have the time. But if you don't fight for them, someday you'll have the time, but you'll have no desire. He was talking specifically about meeting with God. He said, now that you have small children and you're working a bunch and this and that, if you don't fight for that and it's not precious to you, someday you'll have the time but no desire. And I really believe that. So starting this, the motivation part of this, when I said we want to motivate to have a quiet time, it's kind of our choice. It's our resolve. Steve Pressfield talked about that last night. You're just your determination that this is something you want to do. Am I going to have a quiet time today? Am I going to memorize Scripture? Am I going to be around people that can help me? Well, that's for you, between you and the Lord. Did you have a question?
Yeah. I'm sorry, who was it that you said made that quote?
Oh, Max Barnett. There's a man named Robert Lewis who wrote Raising a Modern Day Knight and the men's fraternity, and he made this statement. He said, every man has a few defining moments in his life where he goes inside and decides who he's going to be, what you will give your life to pursuing, and how much effort you will give before you quit. And I've made that decision, right? I want to know the Lord every day more. And so I'm going to have to cut some things and add some things to do that. But that's up to all of us. So here's some steps. These are some things that I take, things I do that help me. One is I find a place. You want it to be comfortable, but not too comfortable. My bed is much more comfortable than my kitchen table, which is where I sit. I like to have a quiet time at the kitchen table. That's just what I like. My oldest son is 13, and when he was just 3 and 4, he would come down and get in my lap. I'm always having a quiet time. And John Repass told me one time, he said, hey, don't push him away. Don't push him away. He won't always want to do that. And sure enough, he's 13. He doesn't do it anymore. But, you know, I want my kids to find me if they get up. I want them to find me reading God's Word. I just want them to know that's part of my life. Not that I'm forcing it, but they need to see their mom and dad doing that. And then Mark 1:35 says, very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. And you see that here in Jesus, right? Very early in the morning. He had a late, if you read the context of that passage, he had a late night the night before. He got up and left the house, get away. And he spent time with God. And it was Jesus. So if he needed it, we need it. The second thing is time. Finding a private place. Some place you can be without distractions. My struggle is things like vacations. Or if I'm out of sync, if I have to travel or something. It just throws me off, you know. John Repass had an idea for me. He does this where he takes earplugs, the same ones we wear here. And then he just turns his a chair around on the bed and just puts his earplugs in and has a time with the Lord. And I don't know why. I had never thought of that until he told me. Obviously, he knew. And I started doing that on vacation, and it helped me a ton. I was missing quiet times with a Christian family, right? And all the time. I mean, there's nothing required the time, and I was missing my quiet times because we're just out of our normal routine. So Susanna Wesley, you know, the mother of Charles and John, they had 14 kids, I think, or 16, I can't remember. She could never get away from her children, and she would actually take her apron, sit in the chair, and she would put her apron over her head. And her children knew that you didn't want to bother mom when her apron was over her head, but that was her private place, right? That was her time to be with the Lord. And so you may have to get a little creative, right?
Like, what's funny is I can see her, like, hearing one of her kids come walking up.
Yeah.
She's like, don't.
She'd get them, wouldn't she? There's a story in a book, it's called Seven. It's by Eric Metaxas. It's just little biographies about men. And there's a story in there about a guy named Eric Liddell, the Chariots of Fire guy, the Olympic runner. And I didn't know this about him, but one of the things about him is the second half of his life was more interesting than the first. He, after he got the gold medal and all that, became a missionary, and he was locked up in a POW camp. And each morning, he and another brother would meet for devotions and have their quiet times together, that accountability, that time to be together. And because of that, he was able to, I think, make good decisions. You know, his number came up to leave the camp. Like, they were going to actually let him go. And he turned it down and gave it, I think, to a pregnant lady, if I remember the story right. You know, how hard would that be, you know, not to see your family and your kids, but, you know, having God working in your life, having the strength of that brother. He died in that camp. He never got to leave. He got a brain tumor and died. So it's just kind of interesting, the quiet time. God gives you strength for what you, it's a great payback. I mean, that time with the Lord keeps your thoughts clear and you on track. Okay, it takes discipline and it takes a plan sometimes to meet consistently with God because it's opposed by Satan. Not just Satan, but your flesh too, right? If it's in the morning, it's early, you don't feel like getting up. But for me, practically, if I have a real early morning, I work an irregular schedule, so I don't have to be somewhere every day at 7:30. Some days I may be somewhere at 6:30. Some days I may not be somewhere at 7:30, or, you know, changes. So if I have a really early morning or something, I just lay everything out, right? I get my clothes all laid out. I get my Bible laid out. I get everything ready. So I just account for it, and I tell the Lord, and I heard this from Max, I'll see you in the morning, Lord. And Max will actually look in his Bible reading calendar ahead and say, I'll see you in Proverbs 6 in the morning. You know, but it's setting that expectation in your heart and just telling the Lord, I look forward to seeing you in the morning. You know, and I think that's great. So I take those steps. If I have trouble getting quiet time, I get a brother and I tell a brother, hey, I'm struggling getting up. Could you call me and ask me, hold me accountable? I mean, would that, you know, because I really want to do this, you know, or maybe getting together, having your quiet times together. We'll talk about some of those ideas too. The other thing that's kind of frustrating sometimes about quiet times isn't just your time and schedule and your lack of desire. Sometimes you have a quiet time and you don't hear anything. It's like I read and I pray, but I'm not hearing anything. And so I heard, actually last year, an MP3 from that website. It's called Barriers to Hearing from God by Ted Boyles. And Ted was at OU when I was there 25 years ago, and he died in a car wreck. But this is great. I highly recommend. I put it in the handout for you guys if you want to download this and listen to it. Basically, you start asking yourself questions. Has God already asked me to do something I'm not doing? You know, is there sin I need to confess? You know, so the two things. One is obedience. That's what asking God to what he's already asked you to do, doing it. And the second is a confession. So Isaiah 66:2 says, this is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Or Psalm 66:18, I've heard this verse several times this weekend. If I had cherished sin in my heart, if I had cherished it, the Lord would not have listened. You know, cherish is like your wife. You cherish your wife. You love her. You hold her. You take care of her. You know, if I'm doing that with my sin, if there's some sin that I'm cherishing, it's my little pet sin, that will be a barrier between God and I. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I had that explained to me one time. I thought, well, Jesus has already forgiven us of all our sins. But it's much like a child and a father. If your child tears stuff up in the house and never makes it right with you, there's kind of a relationship gap there. And so I'm asking God to forgive me to kind of restore that closeness, that relationship. John 14:21. Someone know John 14:21?
He that has my commandments will keep them. He that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah, that's great. Thomas Watson is a famous Puritan preacher guy. Said repentance is vomiting of the soul. And graphic, but sometimes it gives you a good idea that kind of what God's after. He's after the real. I call it looking under the hood. You know, sometimes as men, we just have to look under the hood and say, something isn't right, not hearing from God, things aren't really, I need to look under, see what I need to take care of, and then shut the hood and go, you know.
So, God look under the hood.
Have him look under the hood. So. Okay.
Repentance is vomiting of the soul.
Oh, yeah, that's what he said. That's what Thomas Watson said. And that's what he was feeling like, you know. He was saying, hey, this is tough, right? It's not pretty all the time. D.L. Moody said, God did not give us the Bible to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives. And that's true. God is interested in our lives looking more like Christ and not just knowing more things. So, and that's how he can change our families. He can change a lot of things. If you look on your paper, I put a block on there. And that's just out of Rick Warren's book. It's called Dynamic Bible Study Methods. That's just kind of I call it a cheat sheet or something. As you're looking at a passage of Scripture, sometimes I use this. Just go through each question. You're just trying to hit the passage from different angles. And that may be helpful to you. It may not be. So it's just something I do. And, you know, we're going to have a practice quiet time in just a little bit. Or not a practice one, but a real practice one. A real practice, that's right. You know, if you practice incorrectly, practice doesn't always make perfect, it makes permanent. So you want perfect practice to make perfect. So the more you do something correctly or completely, the better you'll be at it. And I believe quiet time is the Holy Spirit getting in our hearts and illuminating passages in Scripture to us. But I think, too, the more experience, the more relationship you have with the Lord, I think it's easier. Not always to hear Him, but it's you can see His hand moving, I think, a lot of times. It's easy to look back a lot of times and see God's hand in your life. So, and then on your sheets, you'll get just a little bit, or you have, I always look for the observation, right, the interpretation, the application. I'm trying to make it for me. I think on the next page, you have the prayer section. And this is actually a section we're not going to go too much over. Instead, I'm going to refer you to Max Barnett did a prayer workshop last year. Actually, we listened to it on the way up. I wasn't here last year for a funeral, but it's tremendous. I heard him again this morning, and again he emphasized prayer. So far be it from us to say, what I try and do is I try and process my quiet times through prayer, right? So I always ask God to open my eyes, Psalm 119:8, and open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. I ask Him to show me before I have my quiet time. I get my verse or whatever is there, and then I pray that back to God. I ask God this characteristic or this person. I don't want to be like this person, or I want to be like this person, or I need this character, you know. I'll pray that back to God. You do have the pieces of it here, and I put on here the adoration, the confession, the thanksgiving, the supplication. Those are actually part of the 7 minutes with God. And that sheet, if you were not here Thursday night, there were still some left from Jeff Jordan when he talked. It's out in the, I think it was part of his talk. They're on that table out in front. So I encourage you to pick up 7 minutes with God. You can read it. And then you can just kind of follow it. It's just it's not a magic formula or anything. It's just a pattern. And so that's kind of what we do. So what the three parts to a quiet time I put was to read the Scripture and to pray. And then I put to listen. And the listen part is something that I've only done the last couple years. So I used to not listen. I used to just pray. It was sort of like Sonic. You put in your order and then you just wait. You know, you don't listen, but you know God wants to speak. And sometimes He'll speak through the Scripture just clear as He can. Sometimes He'll speak after in just silence. But now I'm learning to pause, pray, and listen and meditate. Just listen for the Lord. And it's tremendous. My son, he's 13 now, my oldest one. He was 8. He said, "Dad, I believe it's time we got a dog." And I said, "Well, won't you pray about that? Won't you pray about that and see what God would tell you?" And so I explained to him, you pray, you ask God, tell Him how your heart feels, what you think about that, and then listen. You know, he didn't know. His mom and I had been talking about getting a dog for some time. And we were locking in on it, right? He didn't know. So a couple days later, comes down. I said, "Are you still praying for a dog?" He said, "Nope." I said, "Why not?" He said, "Well, God already told me." I said, "What?" He said, "Yep, God told me to wait." And I said, "That's interesting. What do you think He meant by that?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "To wait. So I'm going to wait a little while. See what happens." Well, it was less than 2 weeks later we had a dog. I mean, you know, and we didn't already have one picked out or anything. What we were waiting on was a certain kind of a rescue dog. We were looking for a certain kind, a certain, you know, and it just one popped through. So see, the Lord, I think kids don't have as much junk sometimes in their lives. I think sometimes they can easily hear the voice of God. And I think as adults, our lives get complicated and it's hard to hear the voice sometimes. Okay, so what we'd like to do right here is take a little break, wake everybody up. And you have two sheets. You got another sheet with some scripture on it. And all it is a passage. We'd like to do the Psalms passage, Psalms 1. And what we'd like to do is give you 5, 6, 7 minutes here to just read that passage. There's some questions at the bottom. You know, pick a scripture or a verse. You know, what do you observe about it? You have an application. Okay? And then in just a couple minutes, we'll go over. Okay? So do the Psalms 1. We'll all kind of be together. Okay. I know you guys are still working, some of you. I'd like Alan to share with us what he approached it.
Yeah, it's not that I'm really good at this, but just so you have another perspective of how somebody else might have done it. Psalm 1, verse 2 really stood out to me. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. That's something that's just kind of been said over and over again at the conference, and one of my applications that I want to take away. And so it's just interesting that Ben picked this verse, you know, a while ago, but it's consistent with what the Lord has kind of been teaching me at this conference. So I wrote down a prayer to God saying, Father, thank You for giving us Your Word. I pray that You will give me the discipline to think about Your Word throughout the day so that I will be obedient to You. So that's how I just, something stood out to me and just prayed it back to God and tried to apply it to my life.
And so Alan does a great job. He keeps a notebook. It's one thing that I encourage you to do for your quiet times if you can. And he writes his prayers in his notebook. I've not seen his prayers. He just shows me. But, I mean, I don't go through his notebook or anything. But he has a little record of that. You know, he can kind of see that day where God had him or, you know, which I think is great. And praying it back to God again is just another way. I pick verse 3 where it says, He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. And just that firmly, that word firmly, and I just wrote, you know, securely, solidly, surely. Have you ever seen a tree planted by a river or something? And it's actually, you could run up and push it over because it's not deep. You know, even though there's water there, it's real shallow rooted. I just thought about, there's something about a tree being firmly planted by a stream of water. And I just put, just for, you know, just a second here, my meditation on God's Word helped me to brace my life against storms. God, help me to use Your Word in meditation to drive my stability in the storm. Peter, last summer or last spring, sent a a prayer letter or something, and he had a verse in his Isaiah 33:6, and it says, "And he will be the stability of your times, a wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is his treasure." But that, "and he will be the stability." It just came back to that verse, came back to mind. So I'm like Alan, you know, my personal application may be I need to take time during lunch. Maybe I'll say my personal application may be take time during lunch to meditate on my quiet time from that morning. And then if I have it written in a notebook, I can do that 5 minutes at lunchtime just thinking about that. So it doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be a huge thing. Would someone like to share one? I think we have time if someone just, you don't have to by any stretch. Yes, sir, in the back, I see that hand.
Harry, use a lot of comparison and contrast. You know, verse 1, verse 2 says, these things you shouldn't do. Oh. And then in verse 2, he says, then he contrasts delight. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And then he said, I like how he uses the verb to delight. I've got to pour through this. Try to, you know, make sense of what I'm reading, but you know, it doesn't describe it that way. Mm-hmm. And, but then it uses a contrast and metaphor of like a tree farmed by streams versus like chaff the wind drives away. So, just, you know, clearly compares and contrasts cause and effect, the righteous and the wicked. I just like how it is.
Good. Thank you very much. You know, your conference notebooks, I'm sorry, did you have a question? I want to say your conference notebooks there are, remember your small groups, that's all, those are all quiet time boosters. If you need ideas, you know, they have, you can just follow the questions in your quiet time, pick a verse, what does that remind you, you know, just walk through. There's lots of help. It seems like a lot has been said about quiet time, you know, because I've been thinking about it because of the workshop, you know. There's a ton of stuff. There's no shortage of material. But I would encourage you guys, the other thing, my secret weapon is to find a guy near you who you respect or that has been walking with the Lord a while and pick their brain. Buy them lunch. And they may have something for you, you know, too. I want to give you just a few how to get started. And some of you may be able to add to this for sure. But just the idea of just start small and just keep going. You know, that little pamphlet's called 7 Minutes with God. And no one, just in case no one ever told you, I've researched this thoroughly, no one has died from getting up 7 minutes early. You have a quiet time. I mean, even no matter what time you get up, 7 more minutes will not kill you. But it's a sacrifice. And, you know, the Lord, He knows how tired you are. Did you know? I mean, He knows exactly what you got going on in life. He knows, you know, everything. And so I just encourage you, make that sacrifice for the Lord. There's a saying, Max has a saying, it says, start now, start enthusiastically and make no exceptions. He actually said this about scripture memory, but I think it works for a lot of things. He tells a story about, he made a commitment kind of to God to not go to bed without having a quiet time. And I think this was about when he was in college or something. And he got in bed one night. He came home really late or something after midnight and got into bed. And he said he realized he hadn't had a quiet time. So then he has this struggle. Should I get up and have a quiet time? Should I not get up and have a quiet time? You know, he gets up and has a quiet time. And God showed him, gave him a verse and a promise in that quiet time that was very significant for the rest of his life. So you don't know. I mean, you know, the Lord is faithful. And I think sometimes He smiles. You know, He says, hey, I'm going to give you a special blessing. Keep a record of reading so you can purpose to read the whole Bible. I'm not at the least trying to put a burden on anybody, but I would encourage you to use some type of Bible reading calendar. You don't have to do it every year, but this helps me a ton, right? So it's got little boxes and I can check off a box. My goal every day is a box. One single, it's one chapter. If I happen to read 3 boxes a day, I get through in a year. But my goal is one chapter. But I'd encourage you guys to have a plan, not just to you know, open today and see where we are. You know, have a plan, and try and get through the whole Bible. If it takes you 3 or 4 years, or if you can do it in a year, you know, we have the time. I don't think the time is the issue, and I'm just saying this just mano a mano. You know, just don't watch television. Done deal. I don't know that you watch a bunch of television, but the 15, 20 minutes I catch a day is enough to get me through the Bible in a year almost. And although I do, you know, like to watch a show with my daughter, which is usually Dora the Explorer, I miss that. But truthfully, I enjoy her and spending time with her. But other than that, it's not the show itself. Okay, and again, I'll just go over this again. Remember, you're not being works-based or legalistic because you say, I really want to walk with God. I really want to have a quiet time. He still loves you the same. Philippians 3:10 says, my aim is to know him, to experience the power of his resurrection, to share in his sufferings, and to be like him in his death. I learned that verse in another version. That's why I read it. But this New English Translation, the Net Bible, I love that. My aim. That is my aim. And I think Stephen Pressfield said, or it may have been someone else, he said it's easier to shoot from the hip rather than take careful aim. The problem is you don't hit as much when you just shoot from the hip. But my aim, I want it to be sure and secure. I want it to be a good shot. I want to do everything, put everything I can together to walk with the Lord the rest of my life. So there's a statement that was by a rabbi, Evan Moffick, which I don't know him, but it was a pretty cool statement. He said, Jewish tradition believes that the Bible does not contain any unnecessary words. Every syllable of Scripture teaches us something. And that's true, even though he's Jewish and I'm not. That's completely the Bible. I believe every syllable of that Bible can teach us something. And the more you study it and the more time you spend with it, God will reveal things to you. There was a guy in college that used to say, his name was Lewis Hill. He used to say, if you ever read the Bible like it's true, it will change your life. And I think too many times I doubt God, you know, when I read and he sees me something, shows me something. A variety. I have friends and people I know that 1 year may read it in New American Standard and then 1 year may read it in ESV, or, you know, they may change their reading or they may change their plan a little bit year to year, maybe read, you know, a chapter of Proverbs every day or something to keep it refreshing. I think sharing it in a group, if you have a small group of men, which if you don't, I encourage you to get a brother or somebody. If you guys fellowshipped over quiet times once a week or something, that would probably encourage you hugely, you know. This last year, I've been reading, it's a New American Standard, but it's a Charles Stanley, so you could laugh at me when I tell you this, but I mean, it's not a Bible with a commentary in it. It's kind of got his thoughts, sort of. And so it's like having a quiet time with your grandpa. I know it sounds, but I mean, I'd really have enjoyed it, you know, because he'll, you know, do a little section, then he'll take a verse and tell you something. And I just think it's really kind of cool. This is the first year I've done anything like that, but anyway. I tell you, too, teaching someone else to have a quiet time will elevate your quiet time hugely. So on that sheet with the quiet time we just did, on the back is another passage of Scripture. And the thought was to send you home with that. You can have another quiet time, or you can take that and teach someone. Yes, sir.
I had personal experience with that about 2 weeks ago. I had a man I'm helping in Lubbock. And he's in love right now, and he's really struggling. He really wants to grow. So we started with a quiet time, and I taught him how to do a quiet time. And I tell you what, that invigorated me so much that day. And I knew all the mechanics, but showing him how to do it, he was just like lapping that up like biscuits and gravy. And that just motivated me. I mean, I was walking. I don't even think my feet was touching the ground. You know?
Is that right?
Obviously it was. But, I mean, it just really, I mean, 3 cars pulled up in front of me. I didn't care.
You're right, not.
3 cars tailgating. I don't like tailgaters. And it didn't bother me. I mean, I'm just saying it really invigorated me. I mean, there's a lot of truth that went in. And I've been to several quiet time workshops.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for doing that. Thanks for sharing that, too. Yeah, so there's testimony right there. So If you have a kid or you have a friend, or even if you have somebody that already knows how to have a quiet time, if you just sit down and say, hey, I went to this workshop, I just kind of wanted to practice teaching somebody, would you be my guinea pig? And let me teach you and tell me if you think it makes sense, if it lines up. If you have children, you can easily do them, and they have to because you're their parent. So, you know, truthfully, there's a Bible study called Every Man a Warrior. And in that, he says, his point is men fail at having consistent quiet times because no one showed them how. That's his first point. Satan opposes it, right? He doesn't want you in God's Word. And they have nobody to hold them accountable. I think there's a lot of truth to that. If you're living kind of Christianity out on your own, apart, you know, I think getting a brother, getting some accountability or a friend or someone that can, you know, I think it would improve your spiritual life a ton. And then I think we really have no excuse in America, right? There are so much resources available. That discipleshiplibrary.com, I looked up, if you just thought, I want to be better at quiet times this year, 2015 is the year of the quiet time for me. If you get on that website and search quiet time or devotional life, there's more than 50 workshops, sermons. You could listen to one a week for the rest of the year. You'd be pretty good. You'd have a pretty good idea, you know. Prayer, same thing. Scripture memory, there's plenty of help. I think my struggle is just not putting it into action. You know, so I try to always have something on the iPod that's new to me. You know, something I'm working through, some passage of Scripture, some workshop or something like that. And I have it on there, and when I'm driving to and fro, I'll pop that dude in. Just kind of in closing here, I think the two most important things today. Number one is, do you believe that God wants you to have a quiet time? And then if you do believe that, are you willing to commit yourself to that? Okay? And so I wrote you, and not this, but the last page on your deal are just some questions. Those are for you. And what I'd encourage you to do is when you have a little time, you can take a couple minutes here. Just work through that and see kind of where you are and where you want to be. And then if you want to amp that up one level, after you fill that out, write down who you'll show that to when you get back. A friend or a brother that loves you or someone. And just say, hey, this is kind of something I work through, this quiet time thing. I really want to be more consistent at it in this next year. And I just want to show you this. This is where my heart is right now. You know, it's kind of where I'm at. Okay, we have just a couple minutes. Anybody have any questions or any thoughts? Yes, sir.
I guess I was just going to make a comment. One of the experiences that I've had is with a man that I do Bible study with. He'll always ask, so how are you coming on your quiet time? Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes it was good, sometimes it wasn't good. But he would always ask. And so, you know, without explaining it to me, I learned that the quiet time is a huge part of walking with Christ. Yeah. Is a huge part. It's not like a, you can also do this, and that's another little side thing. It's a part of it. It's a part of it. So anyway,
that's great.
I like saying that.
Yeah, sometimes
if you ever do get to where you're struggling with doing it, just remember from what I've learned, like, it's a part of it. It's not just a side deal.
Remember, we're building a love relationship with God. That's the basis of what we're doing. And quiet time is one way we do that, you know? And I write, I'm like Alan, write stuff down, even if it's not much. I mean, this isn't, you don't have to be the winds of war. Just a simple statement, you know? This is, you know, what God's said to me today, or this is a hard word for me to, you know, just anything. Write that down. Yeah. And just so you can go back later and look at it and see and kind of process.
That was another thing that he would ask me was, do you have a journal? You know, are you journaling it? And, you know, sometimes I'd be like, well, I forgot on this one day that I had quiet time and I was just reading the Bible and that was it. But it never fails for him to ask, are you logging it? And so now, like, without fail, if I am going to have quiet time, then I'm looking for something, looking for a pen and paper to make notes of it.
Man, that 2014 was the first year I consistently tried to journal, you know. And I don't mean like I'm writing my thoughts and feel, I don't mean anything like that. I mean, I'm just trying to write a sentence about my quiet time or a prayer or something. And I get down to the end of the year, I'm filling my notebook up, life is good, and someone breaks in my car in Dallas, breaks into my car, they grab my bag, which they thought had a computer in it. It had my quiet time journal in it. I could have wrung their neck because I don't get. Yeah, I'd rather take my computer. That's, you know, and I really believe, I've heard this before, that someday we pass away, our kids will want our journals. That's what they'll want. They'll want to see how God, or your Bible, if you're writing, some people write in their Bible or the Lord speaks to them or something. Man, that's what kids love to know, their dads walked with the Lord. You know, like to see that evidence and stuff. So, at least I hope mine do. I hope they fight over it. We've got a, you know, hopefully whoever stole my book is going through the journal. Yeah, going through the journal. So, anyway, anybody else? So those are great questions, and if I will be glad to send you the page with some of the extra quotes and stuff if you want them. So if you come up here after, thank you guys. And let me just pray, and then we'll bolt, and we're just like 5 minutes early, I think. Lord, we're so grateful that we have the opportunity that we can, that you've spoken to us through your Word, and that a lot of our excuses and things. The main thing is it's just us deciding we want to spend time with you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us, give us clarity of thought, you give us wisdom in our scheduling. Father, that you'd help us to see opportunities to spend time with you. I just think about my son's little devotional. Today will not be the only time I spend with you and my quiet time. And, Lord, that's true. And I pray that it'd be an ongoing conversation with us through the day. Maybe you'd show me something in my quiet time, and I would take that all day with me. It might influence relationships and the way I work and all kinds of things. Lord, I thank you for these men and thank you for their willingness to come to a retreat to shut it all down for a weekend. And I pray, just like Max did, that you'd show us some things we could use the rest of our life. And I thank you for this day in Christ's name. Amen.